Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, The Growing Child. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and my guest this afternoon is Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. Well, it's our monthly Growing Child program that we normally do, alhamdulillah. This afternoon, we continue with our program on safety. We started this series of programs last month. Inshallah, we hope to continue with a few of these programs. Just to recap briefly, in our last program, we spoke about falls, the different kinds of falls that children can experience and that can be very dangerous to them. We spoke about windows and doors, the dangers associated with windows and doors. We also spoke a little about fire safety. Now today, inshallah, we hope to continue talking about burns and scalds and electrical safety and poisonous substances, inshallah. So that's what we hope to talk about. Also a reminder to our listeners that our lines will be open throughout the program. If you have any questions or concerns, well, whether it's regarding your baby's health, of course, you can call in with any of your questions. And if you would like to share with us, you know, any safety tips with regards little ones, you know, how to keep your home safe at least, we would appreciate that as well. So, yes, assalamu alaikum, Sister Fatima, jazakallahu khair for joining us this afternoon.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, now, every year, a large number of children are admitted to hospital because they have either fallen from windows or perhaps burnt themselves on, you know, stoves or cookers, or been scalded by hot drinks or choked on small objects. This is also something very common. Or perhaps swallowed household chemicals. In fact, poisoning and accidents are the commonest causes of death in previously healthy children under 1 year old. By taking simple precautions, you can minimize the potential risk in your home. It is all too easy to underestimate the dangers your child faces as she or he explores her environment. And yes, this is something, you know, we cannot really blame children when these accidents do happen because they're so young and they, you know, whatever they do, it's something new to them and it's, they are busy experimenting with everything they see and they do at this very, very young age. So I think this is such an important program that we're doing, and it's important for our listeners to please, if they can, contribute. We certainly do appreciate, you know, there may have been an accident that have happened, and if you share these incidents with us, then perhaps we can help somebody else out there, inshallah, we can even prevent an accident like that happening, inshallah. Okay, like Sister Fatima, we're talking about, we obviously spoke about these different points, that is on falling and, windows, the dangers associated to that, fire safety. Let's talk a little about burns and scalds. Now, when does burns normally, burns, before we talk about scalds, when does a burn normally occur?
Look, Zeenat, burns comes in different categories. You have the water burns, you have electrical burns, you have electrical shocks, you have oil burns, heat burns, sun. You know, these are all different categories of burns that affect the human being. And it will affect the child more because they are still very young and they're not fully developed. And in that, the danger there is that with an adult, you can see, you know, the dangers before. Mm. You come upon a place and see there's danger there or there's a danger. But children, they are exploring, they experiment, if they want to know. So if they see something different from the normal, anything that differs from what's normal in their little brains or what they are used to seeing or what they are used to being with, what they're used to holding, what they are used to, the environment they are used to, anything different from that, they're going to go and explore. Mm-hmm. Because their minds are so alert. They've got little experimental minds, and that's why we say is that be careful of your children. No matter what, just because they've got exploring minds. The father smoking a cigarette, the children will now go and explore that. What they do, they see this light, suddenly there's a match, or a lighter, or a fire where you take a piece of paper, and this thing burns in the mouth, and the father enjoys this. So what is that? So they do the same. If they find a cigarette, they're going to go to a corner to experiment with it, and that's where the burns come from. It's the experimental, the exploring little mind of the child that causes problems. Nothing else. Yes. It's not that the child is naughty. There are no naughty children in this world. Whether they are just born or whether they 20 years old, there are no naughty children in this world. It's what they want to do, what they want to explore with, and then get into trouble with that type of exploring. And it's just the alert mind that's doing that.
Yes,
the very alert mind, the very inquisitive mind that wants to know. Look at the child of 12, 15. You tell him, don't cross the road. The car's going to bump. You see how far the car is. So he will go to the road and he will find the car coming and he will stop. He'll go to the river and put his foot in and find and say, this is the deep end of it. Then he'll stop. But when he sees a cigarette, he'll think, but why is it? In his little mind, of 15, 12, 11, that the adults enjoy, let me explore, let me see what is it. Because when they do use this thing, their mannerism changes, their habits change, they become either aggressive or very happy. So what is it that is happening to them? And they experiment. It's not a naughty child, it's a clever child doing that. If it was a simple child or a naughty child, they wouldn't have done that. But this child is exploring, and when you find the drug addicts and the children that have gotten into problems like that, and then you say, but how can it happen? These are such rich people. This child has got everything. He doesn't need anything. If he wants a car, he gets it. If he wants to go on holiday, he goes on holiday. What made him do this? It's the exploring mind. It's the experimental mind that children are. They want to see why, what for. So children are never too old. Never.
Yeah, and especially little ones, and we're talking about very little ones, yes, Sister Fatima. They don't know fear, and they don't know consequences.
They don't know anything.
They don't know.
They're learning.
They just know they are looking at you. We're just talking about the cigarette here. They just know that my dad does it, why can't I do it?
And he enjoys it.
Yeah.
So why can't I be happy?
For that
my mama does it, yeah?
Yeah.
And when they are happy together, they smoke. So why are they doing it? So let's see what it is.
So we can, and the thing is, obviously they don't know how to do it, basically. You know, they wouldn't know that, you know, this is the way you burn, light the cigarette, and this is how you smoke.
How you
and
hold it.
And whatever the case may be.
No, they don't.
I don't know, whoever does it would know. We don't quite know how that works. But anyway, and then there's so many other dangers associated with that. You know, sometimes we don't realize that just by smoking that cigarette, sometimes a little child, and we're talking about babies here, Sister Fatima, because I've seen it actually happening, you know, where your caretakers are smoking and they don't realize, you know, they're carrying the baby in the one hand and they smoking on the other hand. And it could be anybody. It doesn't necessarily have to be the caretaker of the baby for that matter. And the child grabs the cigarette. And, you know, you don't even notice the burns until maybe 2-3 days later, because they don't tell you, number one. They won't tell you if it's caretaker. Sometimes they don't even tell you, or sometimes they don't even know, because a child can really hold their fist close. It's happened. I've seen this happening where a child was actually burnt in the hand because they had grabbed the cigarette.
And why did they do that? Because they saw whoever is smoking, whoever it is, the parents, the grandparents, the caretaker, like you say. But this is different. This is something new to him because he hasn't seen that before. The baby hasn't seen this. And something new to him. So he was saying, but what is that? What is that? What's happening there? So let me feel and let me see and let me touch and see what it is. And that's how they get burnt.
Okay. You also mentioned the sun. You know, this is where we need to take the necessary precautions, because the child doesn't know the sun is going to burn me. And they can really burn, sometimes really, really have bad burns. So sunburn is also one thing that we need to be very careful about.
You can get a sunstroke as well. That's how dangerous the sun is. The sun is so far away. It's millions of miles away from us, millions of kilometers away. And yet that can cause such dangerous things to the child.
Mm-hmm. And then what are the burns? Hot water, you were mentioning hot water, hot liquids. Children can burn with hot liquids, tea, coffee. A hot coffee, sometimes just left on the side of the table, you know, not thinking that the child, little ones especially, can just pull it off the table and they can burn so badly.
You see, that is also the exploring mind. You know, we repeat this over and over for people to understand that it's not one thing that the child does. The child does
many,
all things, at all times, whatever it is. Whether it be a cigarette, whether it be water, whether it be electricity. It's an exploring mind. It's different to what they're used to. Now they see that this mother is the kettle. You look at this kettle, it's very quiet. And suddenly the kettle makes a noise. How come? You understand? So let me touch it. And let's see. And they go and touch. They pull on the wire and that's how they get burnt as well. It's the exploring mind. Some kettles whistle. And you know, whistling to a child, it's new. It's a sound. It's a loud sound that they've never heard before. And they want to know why. The only thing is that they do these things is because they want to know why is it happening.
So these are accidents that can, I mean, there's so many other things that could possibly go wrong. Matches lying around in the house. Lighters lying around in the house. Children want to experiment. Like, this is what they are. We need to know why. What happens? We saw when mom or dad was lighting, you know, doing something, there was a little fire that came out or a little light that came up. And we want to see, can't we try it out?
Let's try it out. You take that light and you put it onto paper, the paper burns.
Hmm.
Right?
So they're going to try the same thing.
So they're going to try it.
So we need to be so careful, where all these things are concerned. Lots of precautionary measures should be taken where our and be aware. I think as adults we need to, you know, think ahead of the child all the time.
And the mothers, I think a mother is a more important person in the house. Not that the father isn't, but a mother is with the child all the time. She's alert. She knows what's happening. So when something happens like that, please don't ignore. Like when the father comes in, he comes into the house, he's tired, he's worked, he's come with this heavy traffic of hours that you hear about. It's very frustrating. Our roads are very, very frustrating. And when you come in the house, you need to do so much. Go and have a shower, come back, get dressed, bath, eat. So all that goes in my, so in that 1 hour you want to do all that thing. So you take a cigarette, the first thing you do, they smoke and they leave the lighter there. Because subconsciously you do it, because you don't, at that moment you don't think, let me remove this. Your mind is so busy to do the next thing. So you leave and the child sees this and takes that. The child sees the match. Yeah. It's something new to the child. It hasn't been there before. Now it's here, but I've seen them use it, and I see it, this is how they use it, and the child explores.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, precautionary measures. We need to be alert at all times.
We have to be alert, yeah.
What regards scalding? What is that?
Scalding is water.
Mm-hmm.
Water, tea, the geyser, anything with water, to do with water. The bath, bathing the baby.
Oh, yeah.
Those are scalds. And what is a scald? A scald may be first degree, second, third degree burns of water, of liquid. I'm talking about water and not oil. Oil is a different burn again. With water, if the water's above temperature, and how do we test for water? How do we test for water for our children? We test it with our elbow. Just put your elbow in the water to see if it's warm enough. If that thing burns you, you know it can scald the child. Scalding is a discoloration of the skin. It's just the burning of the top layer of the skin. Then you have degrees of burn. That's first degree, second, third. First degree, the top. Second degree is the below the skin. Third degree is the tissues.
Tissue concerning. Burn that in.
That's good. That's how burns goes through. You see how these burns happen is because it's the severity of the heat of the water. If the water is not very hot but can burn, it will scald. If it's hotter than normal, of course. If it's boiling, it will be third degree burns.
Oh,
that will go down to the muscle. It actually eats the skin up. And that is very... Now, remember, a burn is very, very painful because the nerve endings are under the skin. Not in the tissue, not below the tissue in the bone. It's just under the skin. So, if a burn happens just over that, it's going to be very painful for the baby.
You know, we can just think of it ourselves. When we have these little burns, when we're busy in the kitchen and we have a little burn, you know how it burns? Oh my, it's sometimes so painful. Can you imagine a little baby burning?
And
you know this?
Yeah, it burns like that because it's the nerves. The nerves have been hurt. The nerves have been injured. And how do you cure a nerve? Very difficult. You know, a nerve, curing of a nerve is sometimes impossible. Look, when there's a break in the bone, or how long does it take to heal? How long does a nerve take to heal? It takes months. And this burn is now touching the surface of the nerve. It's going to be very, very painful for children. Very.
We really need to be very careful.
We must be very careful with children. And children do not know. They don't know. They are not naughty. We must get it out of our brains. Children are not naughty. They are an explorable mind they've got. They explore, they experiment.
So we need to be, especially, you know, where water is. If you are going to give your baby a bath, you make sure that your child is not left unsupervised.
The first thing you do in any, when you're preparing a bath for a baby, for a child, for anybody, pour the cold water gets opened first and then the hot water. Please do not open the hot water first and then the cold water. You're going to burn the child. You'll burn the baby as well.
For one, children are so excited to have a bath, you know. Then they always, before you even ready to put them in, they already, especially those that can kind of climb in and out into the bath already.
But did you notice, Zinat? You must notice, you must watch your children growing. It's the most exciting thing to see how children grow. When you're holding your baby, you've got your baby in your hands and the bath water's there. Right? What does this child do? They actually want to jump out of your hands because it's something new to them. Now they see this water, and if that water is very hot, you haven't put cold water in, and that baby jumps out of your hand into that bath, can you imagine what will happen there?
Oh, man.
Can you imagine? And, you know, you think it can't happen. Impossible.
But it can.
It can. I saw, we went once to Lenmed. It was early in the morning. I can't remember what I went for. And this mother ran in her pajamas. She ran in with a child in her pajamas. Can you imagine tragedy of it and how excited she got? She ran in with the pajamas with this child. It was burnt with tea. She was pouring tea, and the child was at the bottom of the tea, and the child grabbed. And this child was badly burnt. For a mother to run out of a house without thinking of, let me put the gown on first, let me change, she just ran into her car. That's how the child got burnt. So we must be very careful. At all times, just be careful.
Yes.
Don't think it cannot happen. It can.
And also another thing is, even though you have filled up your bath, even if the temperature is okay and the baby's children, you know, your little ones are in the bath, especially little bigger ones that can sit in the bath, the toddlers, you should never ever leave them unsupervised.
Never,
because they can even open up.
But
isn't that
the most dangerous thing, to leave a child in a bath? Is they can drown. You will lose your child's life, because remember something is, when a child slips in the bath is always slippery.
So you should have a mat.
It's got have a mat in it. But even so, it is slip. Because with the mat, also, they hold the sides of the bath and they slip, and they slip down. And as soon as the face hits the water, they gulp and they go into, they go into shock. Yeah. And once they go into shock, it's very hard to control a child in a bath that's alone.
Yes, no. Definitely, we need never, never, ever leave your children unsupervised in a bath of
water. And I think what we should think about is the things that excite adults. or distract adults is the telephone and the cell phone. Because if that rings, we lose control of ourselves and we run for it, not thinking that
I've got the little
a
one
very
in the
important
bath.
Person of my life is in that bath or in the water.
So put those phones away.
Yeah, put them away.
Don't answer the phone even if it rings, especially if you have the little ones in the bath.
When you're busy with your children, the phone can ring, doesn't matter. That's how they always say is, when you're busy with your child, first thing you do is put off the stoves, put off the radio, put off the phone, put off everything, and now you handle your child. So you've got all the attention there.
Yes, it's understandable to prevent any kind of accident, because what will happen? I mean, if a child has due to whatever reason, if a child is hurt, or Allah forsake, the child loses a life, his life or her life, and you would never stop blaming yourself. I think
you'll never forget, isn't it? You'll never forget losing your child. We know of people that have lost their children years ago and they still suffer the guilt of it, of losing the child.
Okay, so alhamdulillah, I think the most important lesson that we've learned here is to never leave your children unsupervised. Of course, make sure, take precautionary measures at all times. When you're filling a bath, make sure that the hot water, first fill up with cold water, then the hot water. Make sure that the water is not too hot. The temperature of the water is okay. And just make sure that when you're busy with anything, like cooking, when you're making tea, all those things, be careful. Especially if you know there are little children in the house.
Another very important thing in it is in the bath. What we do is we let our babies stand against something when they wash them. Now what you do is, it's so easy for the babies to stand against the tap, to hold onto the tap. There's a grip there. So you let the baby grip the tap for it to stand so you can wash the child. If that hot water opens, you're going to burn your child. You understand? Burns happen very fast. And before you can realize what's happening, that water is already gushing out and burning the child. You understand? So be careful. Be careful what you do.
Okay.
What you do, we have to think before we do anything. Your motive, your movement, the child. Think about it first before you do it.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our program. A reminder to our listeners, our lines are open. If you have any questions or concerns, the number to dial 011-854-1548. And if you would like to WhatsApp or SMS, then please do that. The number to dial is 082-84-92-786. Stay tuned.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lillah, sadaqa and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Lanesia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Please note, Al Tawheed is registered for Section 18A.
Sedgers, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies-branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgers, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
SANTAC, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In Rustenburg on Wednesday, the 19th of August, 83 Holker Street, opposite the school. Contact 082-897-7863 or 018-538-1656. In Bella Bella on Thursday, the 20th of August, 9 Nagdi Street. Contact 014-736-3069 or 082-928-6972. In Modimolle, Friday, the 21st of August, number 4 Neptune Street. Contact 082-779-2786 or 071-891-9053. Technicians for the miscellaneous regions are Abed Varaji, 079-810-4390, or Isa Kaunda, 078-675-5425. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
Sister Zinat and Sister Fatima bring you The Growing Child every Monday.
The moment your baby is born and all those senses are working,
as the child opens his mouth, he breathes in the oxygen which the brain needs.
A series of programs on child development from birth to 12 months.
Well, you actually do notice it if you've taken your baby for a circumcision when before the doctor even starts, when they feed on the right side.
Okay, so that's the best.
That's the best way. Watch your children, because sometimes what happens is one of the nerves, either the shoulder or something, can be fixed.
The Growing Child, a program to help moms and babies get acquainted.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to The Growing Child. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. My guest is Sister Fatima Daoud, our community nursing sister, and we're doing a series of programs on safety with regards to our little ones at home. Okay, we now want to talk a little about electrical safety. Sister Fatima, what safety measures must be taken to ensure that your child is safe from any electrical mishap?
Electrical safety is very important in a home. Very, very. Because with electrical shock, with electrical burns, the child can get a shock and lose its life immediately. Because that shock, it actually penetrates the skin into the nervous system, into the brain. And it works very, very fast. I think it's the fastest moving object is electricity.
Sure.
So that's a very, very dangerous one, really. And what precautions do you take there is your electrical things in the kitchen. All your electrical things.
Everywhere.
Look, there's
house,
nothing
I think,
that's
basically
not electrical now. Everything is electrical. You've got the electrical knife that you can cut with. It's a kettle. It's your pans, your pots,
your appliances,
your stove, your fridge, the heater, the geyser, everything. These are all electrical things.
And also all these little plugs and switches and things that we have on the walls. I think those are also very important for us, especially with little children crawling around. You know, like we said, once again, they're very inquisitive. If they see these little plugs, the first thing they do is push their little
fingers
in.
They put their fingers
in.
Yeah, they push their fingers in. And they call it what movie is that? I forgot the name of it. It's a pincer movement where they point at everything. So the first thing they do, they point at you. And what they will use, if they see a little hole or something like that, they put their fingers in just to feel. But that's a pincer movement of a child. They're born with those movements. And these are natural development of a child. We can't say the child is naughty when they do that, because it's natural development.
And again, they're inquisitive. I mean, why is this little hole there in the wall? And they want to know, why is that little hole there? What can I take out from there? And they'll push that little finger of theirs, and their fingers actually do fit in there.
They fit in, yeah. They fit quite deep inside, where they will actually push it right into the electrical point.
Mm-hmm.
The utensils of the house, like the kettle, the stove, the pots. Children see these things happening in front of them all the time. When the kettle, when you put the switch on, it makes us it starts boiling. It makes a sound. The light goes on. So all these things are interesting to the child. They're a little exploring minds, want to know why is it, why do these steps take place. So what they do is they try and reach.
And they are so smart, Sister Fatima. If they cannot reach it on their own, they know, I just have to pull that little chair, get onto the chair, and I'll be there. Reach wherever I need to reach.
And can you see, it is not the exploring mind is a clever mind. It's a developing mind, it's a developing brain. The child is developing all the time, and as they develop, they want to know more and more. As a tiny baby, about 9 months, what they will do is they look at the thing and they pull on it. If a wire of a plug, I mean the iron or the kettle or the stove, if the wire is hanging down, they will pull on that wire because it's hanging down, and they pull on it, of course, the water is going to drop on them, whatever is that pot they're going to burn.
The iron may fall on their head. They hurt themselves.
And they're going to burn. But as they grow up, the brain is growing. The brain is maturing. The brain is more now becoming more and more experimental. So they will know that if I want to reach somewhere, I must pull a chair towards me, climb on it, and I can reach. And that's what they're doing. It's a clever brain. It's a clever child doing that. It's a normal, healthy child doing that.
Yeah. So some of the safety measures that we should take is for those plugs, I think they get a little cover.
You get covers. But the things have gone so modern now. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the homes and if you're going to build now, everything is very, very modern. It's not like in the olden times where the plugs were sticking out of the wall, the plugs in the kitchen also, every plug had a... in every corner of the wall had a plug in it for the kettle, for the stove, for the fridge, for the... Nowadays it actually gets hidden behind cupboards. It gets hidden behind the wall. It can be plastered up with a little whatever opening is there for that. So we must use that for the safety of the child.
But if
things are much modern now, yes, they're very modern. But if you've still got the old home, of course, then you use those
covers.
The plug covers.
Yeah. I think it's important. You need to cover them at all times.
And another thing, the plug covers must be firmly fitting. Because if they're not firmly fitting, they're going to pull it out. They've got the strength to pull that out of the wall.
Mm-hmm. But the ones that we have, I think it is a very difficult to pull out. You know, even you, once it's in, you probably need to really take something and pull them out if you need to take it out.
So that's these are the things that you should use.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a child sees you doing that, he's going to get the knife or the and bring it there to get it out.
Yes,
yeah, they do that. Children do that. You must never underestimate the child's brain. Never do that. Because the child's brain is more advanced than you'll ever imagine.
And also, I think it's very important, Sister Fatima, to make sure that all your electrical wiring and whatever it is in your home is, up to date.
And safe-proof.
And safe.
Safe-proof,
and
yeah.
And if you're not sure, I think you should get an electrician to come in and check everything, just to make sure that there's no faults, with your wiring or anything that may seem a little not right.
With the wiring today, is they have a steel covering or a plastic covering that covers the wires on the walls. It actually covers them up. You can do it from the ceiling down, cover all your walls. They just do that. It takes a bit of money, but it's worth, if you think about your children's safety, it's worth doing that, really.
Okay, then, you know, before we go on to poisonous substances, let us do some safety equipment to protect your home and your children. And they talk about smoke alarms. You know, why is it important to have smoke alarms? They said it's, or where it should actually be fitted. One of the places they said you should never put a smoke alarm just on the wall. It should always be on the ceiling.
On the ceiling, yeah.
On the ceiling. And if you have, you know, double-story houses or triple-story houses, for that matter, you should have one at every level. You should have these smoke alarms, you know, at every level of the house. So if something happens, sometimes we're not even aware. You're in one part of the house and something's happening in another corner of the house or another level of the house. At least if you have a smoke alarm, you can be alerted.
And the smoke rises, doesn't go down, it rises. So the smoke alarms are normally on the ceilings.
On the ceilings.
They can be reached,
it's
yeah.
the best place to have
best
it.
Best place to have it.
Then also fire extinguishers. It's important to have it and a blanket. Blanket, I guess, if there is a fire, one of the ways of saving a person is to actually
throw
wrap
a blanket
them up
around them, yes. Yeah, definitely.
If
it's a blanket, whatever you can get hold of,
covering anything, yes,
anything that will cover that will hinder the growth of the fire, just throw it over the person.
It'll douse the flames.
It douses the flames. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Extinguisher also, I think it's very important. No use having a fire extinguisher and you don't know how it works.
You must learn
you
to work.
You need to know
yeah,
how the thing works because we have all these gadgets. I'm looking at one right now in our studio and I'm thinking myself, I wonder how does this thing, you know, there's no time to still read the instructions. Although there are instructions on there, Sister Fatima.
But Zinat, when people are building, then the most important person in that house is the father. The man of the house knows all. So when these people come in to fit in gadgets and fit in equipment, the first person they do, they talk to the father. He must know all these things, so he is the one that should teach the family.
The rest of the family.
The family of what
yes,
to
I
do.
Think it's very important.
You should
and
learn
even
how to
if
do
you're
it.
In a workplace, I think, I'm just looking at this fire extinguishing right here, right in front of us, Fatima. And I'm thinking, if there is a fire here, I know what to do. I'm going to grab the thing, but how am I going to use it? I actually don't know.
But did you notice now that in the workplaces now, they have drills?
Yeah, we all need to
have accident drills,
everyone
they have fire drills,
they
have bomb drills. So these are important things that you should know. And if you are working in a workplace like the father's working in the workplace and he knows, he should teach his siblings, he should teach his wife. Teach the people of the house what to do, how to use these things.
Yeah, now everybody needs to know how to use this, you know, because there's no time. When things happen, there's no time to think. You need to just know what to do in an emergency.
And with a fire extinguisher, you can carry it around. With water, it's got a tap. And if the fire is around the tap, you can't reach there. So with a fire extinguisher, it's good to have it in the home because you can lift it up, carry it with you, and extinguish.
The flames.
So it's good to have them, yeah. And I think it's a law now to have fire extinguishers. In the workplaces, it's a law to have fire extinguishers.
And also,
and in
like
the homes,
I said,
they should, yeah.
I think it's important for all of us to know how to work with all these gadgets that we have.
I think we had a fire in Lanesha in the week where a house in Extension 9 burnt out completely.
It's been happening very often.
Burnt out completely, yeah.
All these fires, yes. Anyway, another safety equipment to protect your home and your children is safety locks. We spoke about the windows and falls and things like that and doors, the dangers associated with that. But they say safety locks should be put on windows, especially on upper levels, if you have double-story homes. And make sure that your windows, if you have windows on high levels, that they don't open up completely.
Yeah, they
you
should
need to be
there.
Doors also, we need to put safety locks on doors as well. It's also a precaution that, especially windows, I think it's very important. I think we spoke about that in our last program where you can actually fall out of a window.
And the very good thing with windows is the burglar proofing. We call it a burglar, but it prevents children from climbing through.
Yes, but nowadays people with their beautiful homes don't want to put burglar proofing. They have alarm systems, you know. And the thing is, okay, it may be safe the alarms may go off if it's broken or something like that. But what happens with our children?
This is it. You must think of the safety of the family.
Where they
look,
want to climb out.
Alarm system is the safety of a family. And so is a burglar proofing. It's safety to the family and safety to the children, rather. Because an open window should have some proof, you know, some proof there where the child cannot climb through. Because children do climb through because they are inquisitive, like I say again, the exploring mind wants to know what's happening on the outside and they climb through. So these are safety precautions that we should do. But you get such fancy ones now that they actually look nice in the homes, the new homes.
Yeah, anyway, so that's other important things that we need, safety locks and burglar proofing if it's possible. And then stair gates, you know, for little children, people that have stairs in their homes and they have little ones in the house. Of course, you need to make sure that you, you know, install one on top and one at the bottom, either on top or at the bottom of the stairs. And vertical, not horizontal bars, you know, those little bars, what do you call them? I'm not sure, can't remember what it is, but between the staircases, you need, you know, the gaps in between.
The gaps. Look, it's just a fancy thing put onto the stairs. Either they can be made of steel or plastic or whatever it is. But what you are trying to say, Jeanette, is that it shouldn't be too wide where the child can climb through.
Yeah,
because children can climb through.
Those little gates shouldn't be, vertical. It must be horizontal. If it's vertical, children will climb over it. If it's horizontal, obviously they can't climb through.
But what were the barriers
and
of the stairs going
those
down?
Those also need to be very, you know, you need to make sure those gaps are not wide.
They're not wide enough for the child
to climb through, or put their heads through, or put their feet or their legs through. Because they can actually push their little bodies through there.
They do.
That can be very dangerous too. We need to make sure that, you know, those are some of the safety equipments that we need
slippery.
In the home.
The carpets.
Yeah.
What about the steel stairs?
Mm-hmm. Where they can actually fall through.
They can
fall. We need
they
to
can
be
slip down and fall. So it should be rubberized. They do put precautional rubber onto the stairs, isn't it? To prevent the slippery
stairs. They do. And also, if there's any, mats that's perhaps loose or something on the carpet, that's loose somewhere on the stairs, you need to make sure that it's, fixed immediately because you can trip over there. And also some things that children always leave around, lying around on the stairs. We're going to talk about that. I doubt we'll do it today in our program.
So coming down the stairs, so many safety precautions that you can take. The first one would be the gate on top. A firm, solid gate on top where they can't open and climb, or solidly made where they can't climb through. The other one is a slippery staircase. A rubber staircase, you find very fancy ones now. Because a carpet, you can slip on a carpet as well. And if you slip on a carpet, there's no way you're going to stop the fall. You're going to fall right down and hurt yourself. So these are all the precautions you must take.
Yeah, children also tend to fall, you know, because what they do is, especially when they're learning to climb the stairs.
When they learn. And this, we must remember the development of a child. One of the developments of a child is climbing a stair.
Mm-hmm.
To see if they can focus themselves to climb a stair, they can use the long bones, the short bones, the arms. If they have the sense to use their feet to climb to the next one. These are a normal development of a 1-year-old. So stairs are important in the home. But be careful. Safety measures should be taken, should be considered when you're making the stairs, when you're building a home.
Mm-hmm. Also some things that can cause accidents on the stairs is toys lying around. You know, it's not only for children that will fall over the chairs. Over the toys, I beg your pardon. What about elders? You know, even adults can fall over the toys on the stairs, and they can really hurt themselves. Older people can get hurt. So we need to be very careful where stairs are concerned. You know, if you see toys lying around or objects lying around
and
on the stairs, you need to remove it.
When you've got stairs in the home, a very good thing to do is to have a shoe rack upstairs and downstairs. If you're coming down, you leave the shoes that you use in the bedroom, leave it on a rack. Because if you're just going to leave it on the side of the road, you can trip over it.
Mm.
And coming and going up the stairs as well, have a rack there. So the way the shoes can be, you know, safely away from hindering any climbing of the stairs or getting to a place there.
Yeah, there's so many.
There's a lot of things
you can think of. And in our next program, inshallah, we're going to talk about all these things. You know, sometimes you know, the importance of safety when you're visiting somebody's home. Visiting homes where there are children in the house, visiting homes where there's no children in the house. You go with your children to somebody's home. You need to, there's so many things as a mother, you know, basically as parents, but as the person in charge of those children, you need to think and be aware of so many things. So inshallah, in our next program, hopefully we'll go through all those important points. I think it's so important. Where the safety of our children are concerned, and to prevent accidents and even death sometimes.
You see, they say death is so final, but an accident can maim a child, can damage a child, can brain damage a child for life. And this is, which is the lesser evil? They're both the same.
Yes, okay. So we still wanted to talk a little about poisonous substances, Sister Fatima, but we don't have enough time now. We've got a few minutes, but there's so much to talk about. Maybe we can just start off. What age group of children are, you know, prone to poisonous substances?
Zenith, the exploring mind is... I don't think there's an age... I don't think you can really put an age limit to that. Because... you know, we as adults, when you see something, we put our fingers and we put it to our mouth. It can be poison sometimes as well. But when you see something that looks interesting, looks to the eye, whatever it looks to the eye, you know, interesting to the eye, we put our fingers in and we put it into our mouth. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, we do that.
So can you put an age limit to these things? We can't, because we as adults do it sometimes, and when the child sees it, they do it because they're exploring.
Mm-hmm. And exploring, I always mind. Remember what somebody told me with regards to little babies. They said that a baby's mouth is a little laboratory.
Yeah.
So everything has to go in there
to learn,
to taste, to you know, and they start tasting at some stage in their lives. I'm not quite sure when the taste buds and all that develop, but everything goes to the mind.
They are born with it, Zenith.
Mm-hmm.
The reflexes are, they are born with the reflexes. We'll talk about that again, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. In our next program, we're going to talk about poisonous substances, inshallah, and of course many of the other you know, common household poisons, and what happens, and you know what happens, precautionary measures that we should take, inshallah. Well, listeners, today that's where we end our program today, inshallah, but we will be back with more. And a reminder to our listeners, you know, if you have any questions with regards to your baby's health, please feel free to contact Sister Fatima. The number to dial 011-852-6515. Jazakallah khair once again, Sister Fatima, for a very informative program. Well, that's it then from us. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.